This is Vandana Shiva, and you're listening to the Enviro Show. Remember, listen to your mother.
Greetings, Earthlings. It's a Make Polluters Pay Enviro Show. I am one of your co-hosts, Dio, and I'm not in the studio with...
Hey, this is Glenn Ayers.
Yep. And Glenn, do you really believe we should all pay for the fouling of our nests by the fossil fools? No, we sure don't. And neither does Make Polluters Pay, a campaign to create a climate superfund, penalizing the worst polluters of greenhouse gases and funding resilience and adaptation projects in communities most impacted by climate change. 350 Mass joins Better Future Project and other groups like CREW, Communities Responding to Extreme Weather, Mass Youth Climate Coalition, and more, to drive a grassroots campaign to hold polluters accountable, close quote. And Daniel Zakin, legislative manager at 350 Mass and Better Future Project, joins us for the interview. I'm moving on here. We're going to do a little blending here, a melding of the critter of the week and our quote of the week. As I come over the hill, I hear the wood thrush singing his evening lay. This is the only bird whose note affects me like music, affects the flow and tenor of my thoughts, my fancy, my imagination. It lifts and exhilarates me. It is a meditative draught to my soul. It is an elixir to my eyes and a fountain of youth to all my senses. It changes all hours to an eternal morning. It banishes all trivialness. I long for wildness, a nature where the wood thrush forever sings, where the hours are early morning ones and there is dew on the grass and the day is forever unproved. All that is ripest and fairest in wildness is preserved and transmitted to us in the strain of the wood thrush. It is the mediator between barbarism and civilization. And of course, that was Henry David Thoreau, and from the writings of Henry David Thoreau, edited by Bradford Torrey.
That is an excellent, excellent quote.
Yes. And the wood thrush is an excellent choice for the critter of the week. It was Thoreau's favorite bird.
Yeah, I love hearing the wood thrush. It's just so musical, and it has a kind of multi-tonality to it, or harmonics within the call. It's really amazing.
Yeah. All right. I think it's on to our interview.
Yeah, well, this is an interview with someone who's involved in a statewide campaign to pass legislation called Make Polluters Pay, and also known as a climate superfund law. And we'll talk about that. And this is an opportunity for folks to get involved in legislation that will actually make a difference. This is not just a feel-good piece of legislation, but this would actually significantly change things. And I'm very much in favor of making polluters pay, and make them pay through the nose, as far as I'm concerned. So let's get into the interview, and then we'll see you on the other side. Okay, today on the Enviro Show, we are joined by Dan Zakin from the Better Future Project. And specifically, Dan is here to give us an introduction to a piece of legislation pending before the Massachusetts State Legislature, which is called the Make Polluters Pay Bill. And recently, that very similar legislation has passed in adjacent states here and in other parts of the U.S. as well. And so, Dan, welcome to the Enviro Show. And if you would give our listeners an introduction to this concept of Make Polluters Pay. I've heard it also referred to as a polluters superfund type bill. But if you'll give us an introduction to that legislation, but first tell our listeners about yourself and the Better Futures Project, and then we'll get into this legislation and we'll tell folks how they can get involved and, you know, why this is important for Massachusetts and, you know, really, why should polluters pay? That's kind of the question I want to have answered here is how can we make polluters pay for the pollution and climate damage and all the other things that are associated with a degraded environment and air pollution and all that. So Dan, welcome to the show and tell us about Make Polluters Pay.
Thank you so much for having me. And that is exactly the question I am in the business of answering. So again, my name is Dan Zakin. I am the legislative manager with 350 Mass and the Better Future Project. I'm going to tell a little bit about Better Future Project, BFP, and our 350 Mass network of climate activists, and then get into the nitty-gritty about the Climate Change Superfund bill and the Make Polluters Pay campaign. So starting off, Better Future Project is a nonprofit headquartered in Somerville now that runs three projects centered around climate mitigation and adaptation. So the most well-known is 350 Mass, which is a statewide network of climate activists all the way from the Cape to the Berkshires. And I help the members, our volunteers, be as effective advocates as possible in our deeply, deeply broken Massachusetts State House, which, just to be clear, is one of the least transparent in the country. We also have the CREW program, which stands for Communities Responding to Extreme Weather, which is a nationwide network of climate resilience hubs, places where people can go in the face of disasters like floods and storms and extreme heat, and those include libraries, those include churches and many other places, to provide shelter and provide disaster relief. And then between those two programs, there is the Make Polluters Pay campaign, which will be the center point of our conversation today. And I co-lead that campaign with my colleague, Rachel Boyce, who is our climate justice and resilience organizer. And so I work with 350 Mass and Make Polluters Pay, and Rachel brings in the resilience experience from CREW into the Make Polluters Pay campaign. The core goal of our campaign is to pass this bill through the Massachusetts State Legislature, which is an act establishing a climate change superfund. Many people are familiar with Superfund sites. They have them in their towns, sometimes even in their neighborhoods, but many aren't. A Superfund is a really simple legal structure that says, if you make a mess, you clean it up. It's really that simple. We teach it to our kids. We teach it to kindergartners. And for some reason, companies are very resistant to cleaning up the messes that they make that are hurting our lives. And so what we're looking to do is to apply that precedent of the Superfund, which has been a hugely successful program all across the country, to the climate and make the biggest oil and gas companies that have emitted over 1 billion tons of carbon dioxide over the last couple decades to pay into a fund based on their share of emissions over an established period, which in our Massachusetts bill is 1995 to 2024. And when we talk about the biggest oil and gas companies, these are household names that are advertising and selling their products here in Massachusetts. So Citgo, Exxon, Shell, Chevron, you know them. They're not unfamiliar actors that are hiding behind a series of other companies. And that money will go into our communities. It will go towards projects that keep us safe from extreme heat, from fires and floods. I live in Jamaica Plain in Boston. And just 5 miles south of my house last year, there was a pretty major brush fire in Blue Hills, where we really haven't had that much before. And there were similar fires up by Salem. I know there were more out in Western Mass. And I know 2 years ago, Western Massachusetts got absolutely whacked by the major rains and floods that hit Vermont and came down the Connecticut River Valley. And many farms were wiped out, lost whole seasons of produce. And this stuff is real. It's hitting us right now. It's hitting in our cities, in Roxbury and Springfield especially, but in other cities across Massachusetts. Environmental justice communities are suffering under extreme heat in the summer and a brutal plague of asthma that leads to people living shorter and more difficult lives than they need to. And so this money can go towards a really broad range of projects that seek to address all of those ways that the climate crisis is impacting our lives right now. Of that money, 40% will go towards projects that directly benefit environmental justice communities, and all projects will be required to use fair labor protections. So that includes paying workers fair wages, that includes making sure that workers are protected on the job, and that there's opportunities for apprenticeship programs so we can help use this money to build the workforce of tomorrow. And we're not in this fight alone. There are a huge amount of states that are already involved. New York and Vermont passed similar bills last year, and Rhode Island, New Jersey, Maryland, Minnesota, California, and I believe a couple others that I might be missing right now are in the process. And so, like our friends in other states, we're building a huge coalition to fight for this funding that we so urgently need to keep our communities safe. That includes labor unions, public health advocates, environmental justice groups, youth groups, including the Mass Youth Climate Coalition and the Sunrise Movement, and of course, your classic climate and progressive advocates. And we're getting pretty strong. We've had some really significant turnout for past lobby days at the State House and across the state. We had a fantastic launch in Boston a month or two ago, and we're ramping up for some serious organizing as we get into the heart of this legislative session. And our organizing has been pretty successful in a large part because the public is already primed to be angry at the fossil fuel industry and to want them to pay their fair share for climate resilience. So, according to recent polls, 70% nationwide think oil and gas companies are the most likely to be greedy and raise prices to feed their record profits. And two-thirds of Republicans, 91% of Democrats, 85% of Black voters are in support of the polluters pay principle. Again, that's if you make a mess, you should be on the hook financially to clean it up. And here in Massachusetts, 77% support a one-time fee on the fossil fuel industry. And so the really top messages there are that taxpayers shouldn't be stuck with the cost. We're currently stuck with 100% of it. And we think the companies that caused this should pay their fair share for cleanup. And that the bill is already here. For a long time, we've talked about climate as a future crisis. And the past couple of years have made it extremely, extremely clear that we're already paying now in terms of property damage, in terms of public health impacts, and in terms of lives lost. And we can't wait. We know it's going to be a process to get this bill through and to actually get the money coming in from the fossil fuel companies. And so we need to start now. And so we're calling on our legislature to act with urgency. But we know that in Massachusetts, if our legislature is going to act with urgency, we need people all across the Commonwealth calling on them to do so. And so towards the end of this interview, we'll get into some of the actions that folks can take, but I hope you consider joining our movement because we're only as strong as the people we're able to turn out in support of this crucial cause.
Dan, that sounds great. And of course, you're with the Better Futures Project, which reminds me of kind of this cartoon I saw that said that what if climate change turns out to be a hoax and we created a better future for nothing? And I like the kind of the underlying cynicism in that cartoon. But also the fact that, you know, what we are trying to do here is create a better future. While right now at the federal level, we have an unrolling disaster, an unmitigated disaster of climate denialism and budget cuts for environment And, you know, the dismantling of literally decades, my entire adult life, basically. I started working in the Superfund program in 1980 as a soil scientist, and then had a career in public and environmental health. And I've seen now where, you know, they're trying at the federal level, they're trying to do away with the EPA and all of these other agencies that really have vastly improved life in this country. But what we need to do in response to that, and maybe you can address this, is we need to be shifting the focus to what we can do at the state and local level, because we have no leadership. We have anti-leadership at the federal level at this point, just destruction. And so we really need to have leadership at the state level. We need to see that coming from our legislature and from the governor's office. And, you know, this kind of legislation, to me, to my way of thinking, would be key in redirecting that effort to the state and to the local entities on the ground, so that we do have the funding and the ability, the capacity to address these climate and other disasters with appropriate measures and planning and recovery from disasters. So if you can address the tension or the refocusing of, you know, we can't rely on the federal government at this point. Now, things may change down the line. Who knows? But at this point, we really need to have leadership at the state level on these issues. And will this bill help us refocus and do things and take care of our own people here instead of relying on Big Brother that is actually out to undercut us and chop us off at the knees?
Glenn, I should have asked you to give the spiel. Oh my God, that was perfectly said. I think, yes, I want to go back a little bit. The short answer is yes, there is a longer answer. So right now we're facing an incredibly difficult situation. We have a federal government that is committed to attacking our state and making an example out of Massachusetts. We see that in these brutal crackdowns by ICE on our immigrant community. We see it in the way that the administration is going after our students, like Rumeza Ozturk, who was abducted by ICE and fortunately has recently been released. But there's so much that we have to do that is defensive. That's about keeping our communities safe from current active attacks. This is one way that we can go on the offense and actually demand the restitution and the fairness that our communities are owed. We know that the fossil fuel industry is lobbying the administration very heavily. There was a lot of news a week or two ago about a meeting that they had in the White House. And the result of that meeting was an executive order that directly mentions Vermont and New York for a variety of reasons, including their passage of climate Superfund bills. And that was followed pretty closely by the US Attorney General joining the complaint against those states. So joining the lawsuit against those states because of this bill. We know that this is a key target for the administration because it threatens the profits of one of their biggest supporters, the fossil fuel industry. And so on top of all the good things that this will do for Massachusetts, on top of how urgently we need this money in the face of the new federal funding gaps, we also need this so that we can go after the oligarchs that are trying to buy our country.
Dan, Dio here. That said, and following up on what Glenn said, I'm sure that, you know, there's going to be a lot of support here in Massachusetts for this. But I'm wondering, is there a chance that the present occupants of the White House will have an opportunity to interfere with the Make Polluters Pay program if the bill passes?
So that would have to be settled in the courts, largely. And there are active lawsuits, as I mentioned, against Vermont and New York. We have a really good basis that this is constitutional, that this will hold up
to a legal test. And we have some really strong support from institutional allies. For example, the National Resource Defense Council, Earth Justice, and the Conservation Law Foundation have all submitted petitions to have intervener status, which means that they would be able to help support the state attorneys general as they face these challenges. In terms of direct attacks from the federal government on these bills, there's a chance that they try and do what they did for the gun industry, I think in 2010s, where they essentially pass a liability waiver that says these companies can't be held responsible for the damages that their products do. That is a very real risk, but it's one that our federal delegation is aware of in Massachusetts and in these other states that have active bill campaigns. And they're going to work really hard to make sure that that does not pass.
Dan, one of the things that really, I'm going to say, there are a lot of things that annoy me, certainly about the way that it takes so long for legislation to pass. And there's so many bills that I would like to see pass in the legislature, and they just get sent to Ways and Means, you know, even if they make it out of their committee, like if this goes to the Environment and Natural Resources Committee or whichever committee it goes to, you know, make it through that process. But then they die at Ways and Means, where bills go to die. And so what's the campaign approach going to be to get this bill through committee, through the committee process, through the markup, and through Ways and Means so that it actually can get to the governor's desk or, you know, make it through a vote in the legislature? And is there a possibility that this bill would be combined with any other similar bills and go into some kind of a large omnibus bill, which seems to be what the legislature has been passing in recent years?
We haven't heard much about what the omnibus bill for this session will look like, so I can't comment much on that. The bill is currently in front of Environment and Natural Resources, and we are working hard to talk to the chairs and the members of that committee about why it's so crucial. Fortunately, or perhaps unfortunately, a significant chunk of that committee are coastal communities that are going to see some of the worst impacts of what we're trying to prevent here. So they have a really personal stake in making sure that there is adequate funding for their communities to deal with rising seas, extreme storms, extreme heat. However, our legislature is not an easy place. And so we're really committed to building a strong inside campaign, a inside the state house influence campaign, and a strong outside presence, really making there be strong popular pressure for the legislature to pass this bill. There's two tactics that we're doing around that I want to highlight that your listeners can pick up and run with and get some support from the campaign around doing. One is envisioning sessions. This is where we gather folks from a certain community and we dream together. We talk about what it would look like for your community to have the funding that you need to be safe from coming climate impacts and what the elderly in your community need, what the farmers in your community need, what the environmental justice communities in yours need. That's been a really powerful tactic to get people to start dreaming big about the possibilities for the future. The other one on the outside of the state house has been passing municipal resolutions. Just a couple weeks ago, students at Smith, with the Sunrise Movement at Smith, passed a resolution in Northampton, and there have been several others passed around the state, including on the Cape and the greater Boston area. And we're calling on activists all across the state to pass these resolutions through your town meeting, through your city council, through your board of selectmen, and show how widespread the support is for this bill. We've heard from allies inside the state house that they don't hear from their constituents enough. If they get 10 people calling about one issue on one day, that's a major event. And so doing really high quality organizing all across the state and making sure that legislators know that this is a priority for their constituents is how we're going to get this thing through.
So with that in mind, Dan, how can folks find out more about the Make Polluters Pay or the Climate Superfund legislation? Is there a fact sheet that they can read about? Is there a way for them to sign up for a newsletter or anything like that? And how can they get involved and follow the campaign so that they're alerted to when some key events are happening, such as an effort to do phone-ins to the legislature or the committees or lobby days at the legislature and those kinds of things?
Absolutely. So all of the information and events and actions are going to be easily findable on polluterspayma.org. That's polluterspayma.org. I'll also send you the links, Glenn, so we can get that on the site. And on June 4th, we have a legislative briefing coming up. This is an opportunity for legislators to gather at the State House and learn about different climate funding solutions, including the Climate Superfund bill, Make Polluters Pay. We have an Action Network, which is an easy letter writing tool for folks to contact their legislators and urge them to join that briefing. And then a week after that, our biggest coalition, the Mass Power Forward Coalition, is having a lobby day. And that's on June 11th. And that's a chance for folks to meet with their legislators virtually, in district, at the State House, whatever is easiest for you, to advocate for this bill and the other Mass Power Forward priority bills, which are also fantastic bills around utility profiteering and air quality. But Make Polluters Pay is one of those. And so joining that lobby day is a great way to get involved. And then if you want a really easy, accessible, open door to the movement, on May 29th, my colleague Rachel is running another of our open grassroots meetings from 6 to 7 p.m. And that is a great chance to get involved, hear what the campaign's about, and learn a bit more about these actions that you can take to help make this dream a reality.
So one of the things that we like to say here in Massachusetts is that the state is a climate leader. And we have right now a governor who is very dedicated to climate action. And we have the first in the nation climate chief in Melissa Hoffer. And so, you know, we expect that this administration will really be in favor of taking these kinds of actions for the climate and for the environment. And so, you know, this is something that we need to not only impress the legislature, but we need leadership from the state, from the governor's office, and from the Secretary of Environment and Energy, Rebecca Tepper. And so, you know, we need all of these people to be in favor of and supporting, strongly supporting this kind of legislation. So are there other ways for folks to contact, besides their elected officials, the administration part, to maybe have them include these kinds of Superfund, climate Superfund concepts into the implementation of existing climate legislation that we already have? Like in the meantime, let's say this bill doesn't pass for the next year or year and a half, are there other steps that can be taken to get these things put in place so that the administration is showing leadership and we're not following the lead of New York State and Vermont and other states?
Yeah, it's a good question. Right now, we're very laser focused on passing this bill in the next year and a half before the end of this legislative session. We do have a petition running that includes Governor Healey, as well as Speaker Mariano and Senate President Spilka, as key targets to pass this bill. But I think that if folks want the governor's administration and our legislature more broadly to set an example nationwide, the administration needs to hear that. We're hearing really concerning reports from inside the State House that one of the main climate committee chairs, Chair Cusack, was talking about potentially softening our legally binding climate goals. We're seeing Governor Healey make some fairly milquetoast commitments around decarbonization and responding to extreme unaffordable gas prices
by saying that we're going to invest more in gas rather than investing in cheaper alternatives. And I think that there's a real fight going on for what the future of Massachusetts looks like. And the governor, the legislators, all of them are really susceptible to our pressure. So if you care about our environment, if you care about our climate, it's not enough just to assume that our state leaders are going to act in our interests. We have to push them and make sure they know that Massachusetts residents want to see this.
Well, the governor has been known to change her position in the past.
She needs to hear from the people. That's the way it works, especially as she starts looking towards re-election. So, you know, they often get a little sensitive around this time in the election cycle. So in closing, Dan, I want to really thank you for your organizing and efforts around this particular piece of legislation and actually, you know, all the other stuff that you do with 350 Mass and being part of the coalition, Mass Power Forward Coalition. I work with a couple of other climate activist groups, Elders Climate Action, and we're very much in favor, as an organization, very much in favor of this legislation. And we will also be joining in those lobbying efforts to see this legislation make it over the finish line. So anyway, thanks so much for being on the show and for all the organizing that you're doing and helping other folks get activated in Massachusetts, because we all need to do our part and we need to join together. I think, like you said, it takes a lot of people to get things moving in the right direction, and we need to push uphill in a lot of cases to get this over the finish line. So thanks for being on the show and keep up the great work.
Right. Thanks, Dan. Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Dio and Glenn, for having me. And Elders Climate Action has been a key part of this campaign. So thank you so much for your work there as well.
Well, there you go. Make polluters pay. And I don't know much about that. So that was a little enlightening. I don't know. What do you think its chances are getting passed on Beacon Hill?
I think that this legislation, because what we discussed about the way that the federal government has completely abandoned the environment and climate, I think that we have to do this at the state level and the local level now. That's where we should be focusing our energy. I understand that people want to rebel against what's happening at the federal level, and I'm in favor of that. But at the same time, we need to have something positive happening here in Massachusetts. And this would be a really positive thing to do in the state. And it would involve everyone pushing this up and over the hill, you know, the Beacon Hill. So I think that that's something worth doing. And if you're interested, check out all the places where you can get more information about that that Dan talked about during the interview. And we will follow this on future episodes of the Enviro Show. And keep your eye on the bus stop billboard when we post actions that you can take related to the Make Polluters Pay legislation. And also, remember to
listen to your mother. Okay, and this is Dio saying adios till next time.
Yeah, this is Glenn Ayers. Take care, folks.
I am Mother Earth, and I approve of this message.